Hello, and welcome to this month's episode of the Royal Society podcast, Our Science. I'm Marie-Claude Dupuis.
And I'm Camilla Tam.
This month is a very special episode as we celebrate the 50th podcast from the Royal Society since we nervously took to the airwaves for our very first stab at this back in May 2009. The team that brings you the podcast has seen some changes over the past 4.5 years, but we're dedicated to bringing you some of the biggest names and most important topics in science. And we're frequently amazed by the fantastic people that agree to speak to us.
We've talked to more than 20 research fellows and 33 fellows, and Uta Frith has the distinction of being our most frequently interviewed fellow, shortly followed by her esteemed colleagues, Athene Donald, and our current Foreign Secretary, Martin Polyakov. In our short history, we've also managed to secure interviews with no less than 4 Nobel Prize winners and heard the thoughts of 2 presidents of the Royal Society, Martin Rees and Paul Nurse.
There's a grand total of 10 hours of science-based audio for you to listen to across our 50 episodes, and our eclectic mix of interviewees includes Sir David Attenborough, Shami Chakrabarty, Dr. Errol Varmus, Bill Bryson, Robert Winston, Richard Dawkins, Brian Cox, and many, many more.
We know our listeners really enjoy our Why Science feature, and in the special episode we bring you the best of Why Science, a selection of the most memorable reasons our guests have given for pursuing the study of their own area of science and technology, or just why they think science is important. We hope you enjoy them as much as we have enjoyed going back through the archives.
Our first speaker, Sir David Attenborough, doesn't need an introduction. He is Britain's best-known natural history filmmaker. His career as a naturalist and broadcaster has spanned nearly 5 decades, and there are very few places on the globe that he has not visited. He is a fellow of the Royal Society and is best known for his presenting of nature documentaries.
Why science? Because our lives are dominated by science. Certainly in the developed part of the world, almost every aspect of our life is affected by scientific advances. And if we don't know how they work, we're heading for disaster. And if we don't know how to control them, we're heading for disaster. And if we don't understand them, just basically understand them, our lives are poorer and riskier.
Our next speaker is the Foreign Secretary and Vice President of the Royal Society, Martin Polyakov. Martin is a green chemist working on gaining insights into fundamental chemistry and on developing environmentally acceptable chemical processes and materials. However, some of you might know him from his popular YouTube series, The Periodic Table of Videos. Here he recalls why he became a scientist.
Why science? I suppose, well, the first question is why I became a scientist. And I suppose because my father and grandfather were scientists, and somehow it was always assumed that I would become a scientist, and I did. My brother is a well-known playwright and film director, so he clearly didn't feel the same influence.
Henry Pollack is Professor of Geophysics Emeritus at the University of Michigan and a member of the Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change. He's written about the future of our planet in his book A World Without Ice, which was shortlisted for the Royal Society Prize for Science Books. Here's what he said when we asked him, why science?
Why science? Science is a way of thinking, a systematic way of thinking, that employs principles that are derived from observation, and it enables a narrowing of possibilities for the future. And so it's a very precise way of looking at physical phenomenon and seeing what the story for the future will unfold.
Dr. Olivier Restif is a Royal Society Research Fellow working at the Department of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Cambridge. He uses mathematical models combined with experimental and field-based studies to investigate the dynamics of infectious diseases at all scales, from cells to ecosystems. Here he discusses the importance of asking questions.
So why science? So to me, science is just about asking questions about the world, about what you see around you. And it doesn't matter what it is about. As soon as you have the imagination, the curiosity of asking questions, on finding a way to answer that, on just not being satisfied with what other people would tell you. They say, well, that's probably easy, people must have found it before. If you go out and find the question, find the answer by yourself, then you're a real scientist.
Carol Vorderman was the face of the numbers round on Countdown for 26 years, bringing maths into UK living rooms on weekday afternoons. When asked why science, Carol captured some of the excitement and awe that it can inspire.
I just love it. I just think, oh, wow, that's fantastic. I just find it wondrous.
Colin Pillinger is a fellow of the Royal Society who is most well known for his work on the Beagle 2 Mars Lander project. Here he discusses the excitement of sharing new discoveries.
Oh, why science? Yeah, I like surprises, and science is packed full of surprises. And, you know, the excitement of science, of being the first person to know something, is just an amazing feeling. This is why I studied science, because, you know, you get this tremendous buzz when you're the only person in the world that perhaps knows this one fact. And writing about it is a way, you know, if you know a piece of information, your desire is to share it with somebody, to tell somebody you know it. So, you know, with science, doing it and then writing and telling people about it is just an amazing way to spend your whole life.
Professor Jonathan Ashmore is a fellow of the Royal Society working at the Neuroscience, Physiology and Pharmacology Department of University College London. Professor Ashmore studies the cellular mechanisms of hearing.
Because it keeps me entertained, I wake up every morning thinking, what will I discover today?
Jasper Ford is actually an author, not a scientist. You might know his book, The Air Affair. Writing science fiction and creating alternate realities gave Jasper an interesting perspective on our question, why science?
It's a good one, isn't it? We were having this conversation the other day, because always, you know, someone says, you know, how much did it cost to search for the Higgs boson? And you go, you know, how much did it cost to go to the moon? And you go, well, it's over. It's like we're on the plains, you know, and it's millions of years ago, and we're wondering what's beyond the hills. And I think it's the same thing, you know, and we always want to know. It's like, you know, kids, I take my kids on holiday and I say, right, go and explore. And they go, ooh, and they've gone for an hour. And what did you find? Well, we found all this stuff. And it's that, I think, an almost childlike curiosity that we bring through to our adult lives. And I think we always want to know what's going on. It's this wonderful thing that humans have. We do some things very badly, very poorly. But the one thing we have is this amazing curiosity for trying to explain it all. And I think it's wonderful to be celebrated.
Our next speakers are budding scientists, the students of the Britannia Village Primary School STEM Club. Britannia Village Primary School is a Royal Society Associate School. The school is a primary inclusive school situated in Newham, London. In 2011, it was awarded a partnership grant for its project on chicken teamwork. I'm sure you will appreciate their very thoughtful answers.
I think science is important then because we can discover new things.
I think science is important in everyday life because science is like the course of many different things. So it's good if you're good in science so that you kind of understand what other scientists discover nowadays.
I think science is important because it can help you in future and it can help you solve problems.
Professor Geoffrey Bolton is a fellow of the Royal Society and Regius Professor of Geology and Mineralogy at the University of Edinburgh. He is the chair of the Royal Society Science Policy Advisory Group. Here he discusses how climbing mountains inspired him to become a scientist.
Why science? Why do it? Well, I can be very personal, and the only thing I ever wanted to do when I was a lad was to climb mountains. And I started by doing mathematics, and then wondered why all my pals in the climbing club were geologists, and suddenly the penny dropped. Geologists have better mountains than mathematicians. And in a sense, I suppose, it was by, you know, the delight of nature, the delight of climbing on mountains and asking the question, well, where's this all come from, that inspired me. And I do think that we very often think of science in far too restricted a way. It's part of an intrinsic human desire to understand those things which are around them, whether they understand them through personal experience of of friends, relatives, political events, social circumstances, or whether they do it through the means that we tend to call science. It's all part of a grand human enterprise. And of course, on the other side of the coin, we tend to think of cultural activities and scientific activities. Science is an embedded part of our culture. It's determined how we look at the world, particularly in recent centuries. It's determined now how we look at the world in the broader sense. And to put science in a box, which is largely inhabited by bespectacled old gentlemen with bald pates and grey beards, is an unfortunate perception that we somehow have to get rid of.
Professor Brian Cox, OBE, is a British particle physicist, a Royal Society University Research Fellow, a PPARC Advanced Fellow, and Professor at the University of Manchester. However, you might know him better as Britain's most popular science communicator. I'm sure you will all be curious to find out his answer to why science.
Because without science, we would be living in caves. It is the reason for everything that we enjoy about our lives.
Sir John Sulston is one of the four Nobel Prize winners we've interviewed on Our Science over the last 50 episodes. He's a fellow of the Royal Society and is now chair of the Institute for Science, Ethics and Innovation at the University of Manchester. Here he talks about the importance of science for humanity.
We all have different answers to that. I suppose for me, I have to say, is that the most important thing about science is discovery. In fact, I would turn it around and say that science is the purpose of human life, because it's through science that we explore ourselves, our inner world, the earth and the universe. When you think how much more we know and understand now than we did 400 years ago, the time of the Enlightenment, the time when this Royal Society was founded, and you think how much more we're going to know in a century if we allow ourselves to keep going, then I think this is just what it's all about. But science, of course, it's the means to an end. It's a means to discovery. We have to understand. We have to explore our inner selves. So I think more broadly that science is a part of culture. It's a part of the arts. It's a part of the humanities, just as much as it's a high-tech thing you do on the bench. But then science, of course, is a marvellous vehicle for improving the human condition, for doing things, for the achieving of all things possible, in Bacon's phrase. I think that science is very important that way as well. So we want both these things. It's not purely for discovery. It's not purely for human betterment. It's both. And it's very much the future of humanity.
Max Little's background is in mathematics, but he now works at Aston University, applying his skills to other complex problems in diverse fields, from biomedicine to rainfall analysis. Here, he talks about his quest for understanding true science.
Why science? Well, the way I see science is to me, it's inherently mathematical. It's inherently logical. And there's a deep mystery, which is, why is the universe the way it is? Why is reality the way it is? And science, aided by logic, allows us to peer into this world. And it seems strange that the world is logical, and it evolves according to logical rules. And so that's actually that's what motivates me to do science, to discover more and more patterns about the world and to understand more about it. But I feel that science is the key to our survival. Without science, we just cannot know anything for sure. We'll always be stuck arguing about things. And in reality, what we need to know is we need to know what are the real patterns out there. And that's why I think science is important.
And finally, we spoke to Helga Nowotny, who is now president of the European Research Council. She gave the most succinct answer to her most common question, why science?
What else?
We hope you enjoyed our medley of why science. After celebrating the past 4 years of our Royal Society podcast, we are continuing to look forward at an exciting programme of upcoming events and activities. This year, once again, the Royal Society is taking part in the Manchester Science Festival, with two public lectures, both being held on the 3rd of November in Manchester. Royal Society Industry Fellow, Professor Vincent Walsh, will discuss the revolutionary potential of electrical and magnetic brain stimulation in medical and psychological frameworks at the Museum of Science and Industry. The second lecture will be given by one of our new fellows, Professor Paul O'Brien, who will be revealing the origins and definitions of nanoscience and nanotechnology and the ideas influencing our perceptions in the field. This lecture will take place in the Manchester Museum.
On the 18th of November, we have a Café Scientifique event here in London with Professor Saiful Islam from the University of Bath, entitled "Can Crystals Help Us Produce Cleaner Energy?"
On the 12th of November, this year's winner of the Royal Society Milner Award, Dr. Sergei Abitaboul, will deliver his prize lecture. The Milner Award, supported by Microsoft Research, is made for outstanding achievements in computer science by a European researcher. Dr. Abitaboul will be discussing our main current challenges for internet networks, introducing us to a world with billions of computer systems connected, collectively reasoning to help us survive in an increasing ocean of data and information.
The Royal Society hosts two book prizes: the Young People's Book Prize, which celebrates the best books that communicate science to young people, and the Royal Society Winton Prize for Science Books, which celebrates the best in popular science writing. The shortlist for both prizes can be seen on our Royal Society website, and the winners of each prize shall be announced in November. For information on all our upcoming public events, visit royalsociety.org/events.